The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right. Well, it is a Thursday, and, we've made it this far, some of us. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you from South Florida, where we are currently waiting for Hurricane Dorian to arrive. Now, the models have the hurricane, again, hitting the east coast of Florida sometime, I think Monday morning, but it's hitting probably a couple hundred miles north of where I am situated in South Florida. Now, that doesn't mean that's where it's definitely going to hit, because these things shift. They can turn. It can pivot on a dime. You never know. We won't know until it's here. So hopefully we'll stay on the air throughout the hour. We just had a little power surge, and I do have one of those APS things, an automatic power backup thing, whatever. So hopefully we're good to go for the next hour anyway. And hopefully I'll still be able to stay on the air tomorrow. And, by Tuesday, Chris Dirks just asked in the YouTube chat room, is it really going to be a Cat 3? It might be a Category 4 by the time it hits. And the models have it. Some have it crossing the state and going into the Gulf. Others have it sort of crossing the state from the East Coast to the West, going across Orlando to Tampa, and then veering back east again. And, heading back out to the Atlantic. So anything can happen. I'll be here, so I'll keep you posted. We have a busy show for you today. It's Thursday, so Howie Klein is going to be along. We are going to check in with our friend Dennis Campbell across the pond, because all hell is breaking loose in the UK. But before we get to any of that, it's always a good day when there's a new Randy Rainbow video out. And there is one. So buckle in, because he knocked it out of the ballpark this time. Not that, he ever doesn't, but he did. So here we go. Take it away. The one, the only Randy Rainbow.
It is a special day indeed, as I am joined now by the divine Miss T, our Lord and Savior, King of the Jews. am I leaving anything out?
Brilliant, great.
Don't push it. Donald Trump, you have had a busy few days. G7 meetings, ongoing trade wars with China, bedbugs.
Fake news.
Let's see. You also sent out a controversial tweet saying that you are the king of Israel.
Oy.
And told a group of reporters that you are the chosen one.
Yeah, he did.
How you doing? You okay?
The news about me is largely phony.
Mr. Not My President, you're acting quite bizarre, ruling like a loon behind your Twitter avatar. Of all your recent antics, this latest one's a pearl. Now it seems you think you're God. Okay, whatever, girl. Your crazy's on full display. Wish you'd just go away. Take a vacay, hun. I hear that Greenland's nice this time of year. Dreaming of walls while the stock market falls. And now you're shaming the Jews. You say you're the chosen one, and I know what you mean. Chosen by the Russian Kremlin in 2016. When will this maniacal messiah complex pass? I hereby order you to get your head out of your ass and just keep selling us lies and attacking allies. Go on, you king of fake news.
It's fake news. It's disgusting fake news. I read a front page story in the Washington Post.
You're making no sense, bitch. Why are you still talking? It's making me nauseous. Everything you say is bullshit. Yes, everything's lies.
I don't think anybody's done more than me.
Close your mouth, and delete all your socials tonight.
The president has said he is the king of the Jews. The second coming of God. The chosen one.
He's not really interested in helping mankind. When it comes to Bible study, he's way behind. He can't walk on water or give sight to the blind. But he can change a falsehood to a fact with his mind. When they crucify him in the news, he starts tripping. And he kinda speaks in tongues when his dentures start slipping.
Cheeto Christ, he's like if Jesus were pumpkin spice. Cheeto Christ, stupid czar, bad tangerine colored commissar.
Wow, he prefers profanity to biblical psalms. But he can stop a hurricane with nuclear bombs.
Ooh.
He's praised by his disciples, though they've all been misled. Somehow he brought Mitch McConnell back from the dead.
Ew.
He golfs on Sunday, so at church he's not in attendance. And he makes 25 seem like the Christmas of amendments. He calls himself the second coming, I would have done. But according to these porn stars, he could not even come once. Don't you get it wrong?
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 Give him what he wants
Give
now.
What he wants.
Don't get it wrong.
Don't get it wrong. Cheeto Christ, Cheeto Christ. He's like if Jesus were pumpkin spice. Cheeto Christ, stupid czar, that tangerine colored commissar.
I think I'm doing a great job.
Don't you get it wrong?
Cheeto Christ,
don't you get it wrong?
Christ,
let me hear you sing now.
His country when he's
enticed. Don't get it wrong.
Cheeto Christ, stupid czar, who in the hell do you think you are?
God,
clearly.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Randy Rainbow is just brilliant. I almost need a cigarette after that. Wow. As a kid, you know, me, the atheist Jew, as a kid, I loved Jesus Christ Superstar. I was, you know, I was in high school when the movie came out, and I loved the soundtrack. So I know those songs inside and out, and oh, my God, it's just awesome. Oh, thank you, Randy Rainbow. You know, he's still touring. And we got to see him when he was in Fort Lauderdale last year. He's going to be at the Fillmore in Miami, I believe in October. We may have to go back again just because laughter is good for the soul. And Randy Rainbow makes me laugh. Now, C. Fields in the YouTube chat room says Jonathan Pye also has a new rant. I know, and I was all ready to open the show with that today when I saw that, you know, there was a new Randy Rainbow video out. So we had to start with Randy. But because we're going to check in a moment with Dennis Campbell in the UK to talk about the batshit crazy stuff going on over there, I thought we should, you know, we'll give you a twofer of the funny today. And before we get to Dennis Campbell, we'll check out Jonathan Pye. Now, for those of you not familiar with Jonathan Pye, he's a British YouTube comedy guy who his persona, his character is he's a news guy. He's a reporter on the street doing what they call a stand-up on a location. So the premise is he's getting ready to do his live shot on a news program in London. And in the meantime, he's just, you know, ranting to the cameraman as they're waiting for the cue to go live. So that's the premise. You ready? Here we go. Take it away, Jonathan Pye.
To suspend Parliament and pretend it isn't about Brexit is just
fucking bullshit, right?
Right.
How long?
Okay,
let me just try and get my head around this because it's fucking confusing, Tim. So, we had a referendum, which is what we call direct democracy, but we live in a parliamentary democracy and we voted to do something that the majority of our elected MPs think is an act of national self-harm. So why the fuck did they all vote to have a referendum in the first place? Dicks. Oh, well, we didn't think you'd vote the way you did. Tough. But anyway, also, since we had that referendum, we've also had another general election where we elected members of parliament to run the country as they see fit on our behalf, because that's how a parliamentary democracy works. Okay, so anyway, we voted via direct democracy for something that comes into direct conflict with our parliamentary democracy.
Right.
But what we voted for, as we were all led to believe, was to take back control of our parliamentary democracy. So, through direct democracy, we're taking back control of our parliamentary democracy, but to do that, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is suspending Parliament.
Oi.
Sounds fucking weird to me. Mind you, so does the phrase Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Okay, anyway, the problem is, after 3 years, our Parliament has no idea how to implement the result of the direct democratic vote because those members of Parliament generally don't agree with the result of the direct democratic vote. So, we're in a position where leavers are shouting that if Parliament tries to stop a no-deal Brexit, it would be undemocratic, and remainers are shouting that to not allow them to do just that is undemocratic, which I think is all very positive. Okay, think about it. I think finally we're at a point where the country is ready to come together and agree on at least one thing. No matter how you voted, what you want to happen next, leave, remain, left, right, Daily Mail or Guardian, we can surely all agree that one way or another, our democracy is fucked.
Yeah.
And maybe the Queen, you know, maybe she could have stepped in. But, you know, to be fair to the old dear, at present, she's got bigger fish to fry. You know, like worrying if her son might be just a little bit of a rapist.
Ooh, oh, there's that.
It really has all gone to shit, hasn't it? Yeah.
Okay, now he's going back to the TV
Thanks,
shot.
Thanks, Bill. Well, a startling day in Westminster as Boris Johnson decides...
And that is Jonathan Pye. Accurately describing what's going on in Great Britain right now. It is a clusterfuck. So with no further ado, somebody's calling me who shouldn't be. Anyway, with no further ado, let's head across the pond, shall we? On the line from the UK is our man across the sea, Dennis Campbell. He's an author, a journalist, an American expatriate living in England. Hey, Dennis.
Good whatever time of the day it is
right
there. What's the doomsday clock moving towards?
Yeah. I'm almost afraid to ask, how are you? Because as bad as things have been over here, it looks like you guys are joining our party.
Well, it's one of those moments where you're just so overwhelmed by the pace of the news that it's you sit there and you almost want to crawl into a fetal position because it's happening so quickly. I mean, literally since the time we agreed to do this and then the actual time we've come on air, we've had Ruth Davidson resign as the head of the Scottish Conservative and Unionist Party. Now, she's the woman that everybody thought would lead the party after Theresa May left, but she's now left the party altogether, and that's a huge blow. Raymond McCord has filed a third lawsuit now. This is not his third, but the third lawsuit over this breach of the Good Friday Agreement, because the backstop is going to be basically gone, and we're going to have to put up a hard border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. EU is blaming Boris for the prorogation, which is basically saying we're suspending Parliament until the 15th or 14th of October. 1.5 million people have signed the petition against Parliament in less than 24 hours. And the newspapers call 2 days ago when the Queen agreed, because she had no choice, she was boxed into a corner the day democracy died. So other than that,
Now,
how was the play?
Yeah, right. Now, so Dennis Campbell, you mentioned the word prorogation. I'd never heard the word before yesterday, frankly, prorog. This is when they suspend Parliament, right? It's only happened a few. It doesn't happen very often. It's very rare, right?
Right. And you know, there's a bit of a problem with the calendar this time of year, in that they come back from their summer break and then they have a session. And then they typically go on a short holiday of sorts while they go through the process of trying to sort out what are called conference season. Whereas each of the major parties then have their party conferences. So Labor has a 3 or 4 day over a week, and this goes on for about a month. There's still some business conducted, but not much. But what he's decided to do now, because he does not want anybody out there fighting over a no deal Brexit, he just wants people to just be boxed into a corner and say, this is it. We did our best. We couldn't get a deal. We're out on the 31st. And by proroguing Parliament, he's basically said, we're not going to. And he's used a small clause in the unwritten constitution, which kind of boxes the Queen into a corner because, you know, she's asked him to form a government for her. So she's pretty much bound by whatever they decide to do. So we're literally on uncharted ground here, and that they're going to be shut down from the 9th of September until the 14th of October, which is 2 weeks before we're supposed to go crashing out of the European Union with a no-deal Brexit.
And this was done by Boris Johnson, we believe, in order to stop Parliament from debating and keeping him from a no-deal Brexit?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's basically said, we're going.
Uh-huh.
So you're either with us or you're not. And if you're not with us, that's the way it's going to be. And I think he's trying to use it as a negotiating tactic to get the European Union leaders to basically come back to the negotiating table, because everybody has called the deal that Theresa May negotiated not worth the paper it's written on. Yet she did have 2 years, and I didn't particularly like the deal, but she came back with a deal. And of course, all anyone has done is just attack the deal. She brought it to a vote. Remember, we talked about this a while ago, where it fell by 100 and some odd votes, which is usually enough to make a prime minister resign.
Right.
She stayed on and fought for weeks and months. And, you know, we've been playing this game for 3 years. So now all of a sudden we're in the hurry up offense in the last 2 minutes of the game here. And all kinds of stuff is going on that's never happened before.
Yeah.
I mean,
pardon my ignorance, but I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who are as naive about how things work over there as I am. Boris Johnson is prime minister, but the public did not vote for him. How does this happen?
Well, the way the parliament is structured is that whichever party is in control, and let's face it, the Tories are nominally in control. If we go back a few months towards the beginning of this year, Theresa May said, okay, I'm going to really try to get myself a supermajority here so that I don't have to fight with anybody. And basically, she lost seats in a general election earlier this year. And in so doing, she had to then find a partner to go into coalition with. So she picked the Northern Ireland Unionist Party as the party she was going to work with. Only they demanded £1 billion, which is about $1.5 billion,
right?
In a buyout, in a bribe for her to join the party. And she still hasn't voted fully, nor have all of her members, but they've been able to get through with, you know, 5-6 vote margins barely on most of the stuff that they wanted to do.
Wow. Okay,
so now he faces a potential vote of no confidence, which would throw the government into chaos and force an election. But really, the only stop the coup option, which is the big hashtag they've got out there now, is, you know, the Queen opens Parliament on the 14th with her speeches and a lot of pomp and circumstances and knocking of doors and, you know, crazy stuff that goes on. That takes us till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's a whole day gone on the 14th.
Okay.
So the first real session is on the 15th. And I think what should happen is the opposing party should form a unity government, basically seize power away from Boris. I think by then, if we have news cycles like we continue to have, because most of the Tories treat this as just a lot of sound and fury, I think this is very, very real. People are very upset with this.
This new
unity government then withdraws Article 50 and stops Brexit, orders a new referendum with a general election for sometime in January, 90 days out. And then the new parliament, the Lords, House of Lords, and the Royals codify a constitution so something like this can never happen again. Now, that would take years in the United States, but right. it can actually happen in a very short period of time here.
Wow. Now, in the wake of all this that unfolded on Wednesday night, thousands of people took to the streets across the UK. I saw yep. some of the footage on TV. And so is that still ongoing today?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's, you know, people go to work and then they come back later in the evening. There's a big plan for a demonstration in Scotland. You see, all this has happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's only 2 or 3 days old. So
right.
the opposition is going to take a while for it to get itself together.
A lot of people are weighing in. One tweet I saw yesterday from actor Hugh Grant. Did you see this one?
No.
The tweet's gone viral. What he said was, and I'll have to edit this for the broadcast, quote, "You will not fuck with my children's future. You will not destroy the freedoms my grandmother fought 2 world wars to defend. Fuck off, you overpromoted rubber bath toy. Britain is revolted by you and your little gang of masturbatory prefects."
That is such the perfect term to describe my local MP, who is a Tory sycophant, who just, you know, has planted his lips firmly on Boris Johnson's backside and is just not going to ever, ever let go. He'll do anything for party
right.
and forget everybody else.
Now, there's a UK Labour Party member of parliament named Clive Davis. You familiar with
uh-huh.
him? Okay. He said, if Boris Johnson thinks he can suspend Parliament and force through no deal, he has another thing coming. We will build a mass movement to save democracy, and everyone who wants to stop this travesty must get ready to mobilize, demonstrate, and resist. So they're calling for protests, and in fact, there was a brilliant video that's making the rounds by, I guess he's a British journalist and author and activist, Paul Mason?
Yeah.
Do you know him?
I know of him, yeah.
Okay, well, listen to this.
Paul, what's your message here today to Boris Johnson?
Well, look, you know, Johnson came to power through a coup within the Tory party. 140,000 people, white, aged, male, racist mainly, voted for him. No, the point there is to become Prime Minister, you've got to win votes in Parliament. You don't have a legislative programme unless Parliament votes for it. He's no suspending Parliament in order to stop Parliament voting on Brexit. And worse than that, his own people paid by the taxpayer sitting in Downing Street, briefed the press this morning that if we should win a vote in Parliament against this no deal, he'll ignore it anyway. That is as close to a third world style coup as we're ever going to come in Britain. And what I'm calling for people to do right now is to join us on the streets until it stops. It's not going to be easy, it's not going to be quick, but join us on the streets until it stops. We need a mass peaceful resistance. It was mass peaceful resistance that got us every part of this democratic institution we're looking at here in Westminster to defend it. It's utterly fragile. This beautiful thing that the people rule a country is utterly fragile, and to defend it, we need to put our bodies on the line. That's what I've learned from my reporting the last 5-10 years. At a certain point, everybody is asked, where am I going to put my body in the defence of democracy and human rights? And my body is staying here until we win.
Do you think his lack of a popular mandate makes the decision to prorogue even more suspect?
It's not even suspect. It's so clearly programmed. As soon as the MPs said, we're going to unite to stop you, he's pulling the plug on Parliament. It's a plan. Whose plan is it? It's the plan of the elite. It's the plan of the billionaires behind Trump, the dark money behind Nigel Farage. It's a plan. It's being executed. And, you know, I know people just would rather be doing something else. So would I. Yeah, it's still summer in my head. But it's at times like this that your democracy can be stolen from under your nose.
Trump waded in today. What's your response to him saying that Jeremy...
Trump is my response. Fuck Trump. Yeah? Fuck Trump, full stop, exclamation mark, underline. I mean, the guy doesn't understand democracy. You know, what right is he to dictate the outcome of a British political crisis?
Exactly.
But of course, that's what it is. The whole design. This, for me, by the way, this is no longer about Brexit. With or without Brexit, leave or remain, the issue is, are we going to become a colony of Trump's America and lose our democracy or not?
Wow. Again, that's a British journalist and author and activist named Paul Mason, obviously speaking with a reporter outside of Westminster yesterday as this protest began. And I'm guessing that we'll see throughout the UK over the next few days, these protests only grow.
Well, yeah, and they're not going to go anywhere. I mean, we've got this this tosser who's a member of the Tory party, Jacob Rees-Mogg, who names his children, by the way, after popes. He's got a rod shoved so far up his backside. He when he speaks, you can't even tell. It's ridiculous. He thinks our anger at Johnson's move to prorogue Parliament is confected. Now, this is one of the most arrogant and patronizing bullies of our time, and he's so sycophantic. But this is how most of the Tories feel. But in Labour, I'm also quite concerned because you've got Jeremy Corbyn as the leader, but he also is for Brexit.
Is he?
And this is, you know, but I think what's happening is that he's becoming more and more a Remainer only from the perspective of we really should be looking at ways in which we can defeat the Tories, and he thinks this will do it. But the problem is as we've talked about before, you know, his anti-Semitism and other issues have caused a real division within his own party. And this, I think, is the one thing that we have to be extraordinarily careful of, because I don't think he's strong enough to win a general election, nor is Labour at this point, which leaves you with the Liberal Democrats, who have done very, very well. They picked up a seat here in Wales by basically having the Green Party, the Clyde Park Cymru local Welsh National Party, and anybody else from the left drop out of standing, so the Liberal Democrat could go head to head against Tory and Labour, and she, Jane Dodds, crushed the Conservative, the Tory that was there, and their stock is rising. The question is, are they going to end up getting in their own way and defeating it? But we could have a true three-party system if they get themselves back up to 50, 60 seats in government. They basically make it impossible for any party to go without them. Now, they already made the mistake back in 2010 of going into government with the Tories. I don't think they'd do that again, but they could end up going into government with Labour, which then would secure at least something that looks like a somewhat of a leftist government.
Yeah. Now, just to define the vernacular, the Tories are the Conservatives. They are like the Republicans. The Labour Party is more like the Democratic Party, the more progressive of the party, and the Liberal Democrats, that doesn't comport with what we think of Liberal Democrats here in the U.S. They're more in the middle of the two groups. Is that fair?
They are. They're leftists, but they're also, you know, they did go into government with the Tories in 2010, and it cost them dramatically. I mean, they went from 60 seats down to 8. They've gradually worked themselves back up, where I believe they're now in double digits. So it's no longer just a minivan. We can actually rent a small bus to move the entire party from place to place. But,
I got to say, you know, oftentimes truth is stranger than fiction. And these days we're seeing a lot of fiction imitating art, imitating real life. And I often say, if somebody went to a big movie studio with a script based on what's happening right now, they'd be laughed out of the office. But there's a show that I just watched. I'm 5 episodes into a 6-episode series on HBO called Years and Years. Have you heard of this?
No.
You need to check it out, because it's set in the UK. About 5 years, it starts 5 years from now. So it's 5 years in the future, basically. And it deals with, there's a Trump-like, or I guess Johnson-like character played by Emma Thompson. The character's name is Vivian Rook, I believe, who is like a Donald Trump figure who rises to power in the UK. And it's terrifying.
Well, there's a lot of dystopian fiction out there right now that is you know, looking at what the world would be like. I mean, a friend of mine, Frances Hay, just released a book called The Night Fogs, in which she talks about life in Wales and Cardiff post-Brexit. And it's the same sort of thing. Everybody's already done. Hell, I've got a screenplay nearly completed in which I've talked about basically it opens with the assassination of 4 conservative members of the U.S. Supreme Court and then builds from there. So it's like there's all sorts of stuff out there based on partly a reaction to what is happening with Trump and Boris and everything else, but also a real demand for us to go back to the way things were, not in the 1950s, but in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when we did care about you know, what was going on with people, and we had a progressive view on things such as discrimination, et cetera, et cetera. So we've lost a lot under these despots, but the tide, I believe, is turning. But that's
I hope you're right, because I'm looking at a world with, you know, Boris Johnson as the Prime Minister of the UK and Donald Trump as President of the United States, which just bile rises in my throat when I say those words.
I know.
I'm hoping, I look at the polls, it looks like, you know, Trump has a ceiling of 40% in all the one-on-one matchups against the leading Democratic contenders. That's the highest he registers, and he's beat by all the Democrats that they've pulled against him. It's still terrifying because I see how he can manipulate what's remaining of our government, and it's all his acting secretaries. And you know, I wonder, I don't know if you remember, Dennis, last year at some point there was an anonymous op-ed published by the New York Times when it said, yeah, we are the resistance inside the White House, don't worry, we basically got your back. I'd love for somebody to follow up with the New York Times and see if, without revealing who it was, the people who penned that op-ed are still in the White House.
Probably not. That's
probably
scary.
Not. Yep.
Most of the breaks are gone. I mean, you know, you can look down. I mean, Mattis came out of hiding yesterday.
Yep.
He was in the witness protection program.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just, I think it's what it's going to take is it's going to take a few members of the Republican Party to really, I mean, and I'm talking not the ones that are, you know, retiring, so we can't really do anything to
right.
them. But,
yep.
you know, and I mean, I look at this and I say, what the hell happened to people like Romney? Where did his spine go? Yeah. Was it removed surgically before he ended it? Entered into the Senate. It's just ridiculous to watch.
Yeah, no, it's horrific, and it's a slow moving coup. And what I in my What's News segment today, I started it off by saying that something along the lines of that slow creep into fascism is picking up speed, because I don't know if you heard yesterday, the Trump administration issued a new policy that says children born overseas to some American parents serving in the military or working for the federal government no longer can automatically claim U.S. Citizenship if their parents lived in the U.S. You serve in the military and you have a child overseas and they're not automatically a citizen. I mean, it's frightening just what this man is doing in our name. And now, you know, you guys are in the same boat.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be improving at all, because, you know, but again, there's a little bit more sensibility and education over here. And you know, I don't mean that to denigrate. I mean that just to say that people are well read here. I mean, you go into a news agent and people actually buy one of 9 or 10 papers that are out there, and people actually read those papers.
Shocking.
You know, and there are real discussions. And if you get a chance to sit and listen to a parliamentary debate, it is very thoughtful and very considered. And there's very few Joe, whatever his name was, you lie.
Right,
type
Wilson.
Things. There's a sense of decorum.
But they do come to blows in Parliament. I mean, I've seen that in the House of Commons, right?
Well, not here, no. But in other countries, absolutely. Their parliaments go absolutely batshit crazy. But that happens.
Right. All right.
The blows are verbal, and the jabs are, you know, you know, noises.
Yep. So. One last question, Dennis Campbell. If you had to make a prediction, how do you think this is all going to play out over there?
I don't know. I'm still a bit of an optimist. I still think that something's going to happen with some form in this government where they're going to be forced to do something they don't want to do, and that is listen. Mm. And I think they're going to the ability to just have a no deal Brexit is going to go away in one form or another, whether they pass a law which says you can't do it, which is likely, or they follow what I said earlier in this podcast, you know, the opposing parties form a unity government. Mm-hmm. They just say, that's it, we're done with Article 50, that stops the Brexit clock. And in so doing, they order a new referendum and a general election for January. That at least takes the sword of Damocles away from our head. I mean, people are stockpiling food right now. They're stockpiling medicines right now. It's insane.
It is insane. The world is insane. Dennis Campbell, you can find him on Twitter at ClientLoyaltyDC. And, you know, here when there's breaking news over there. and Dennis Campbell has an announcement of an upcoming project, hopefully in the very near future. So we'll have you back on when it's time to announce that.
And as always, podcast coming. Cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. As always, I always appreciate your input. Thanks, Dennis. On the line, Dennis Campbell, again, checking in from the UK. Always great to talk to him. And, you know, misery loves company, I guess. All right, we're running late. I told you it was a busy day, so with no further ado.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you doing today?
Well, thanks. And you?
Good. I'm doing surprisingly well, considering all the insanity in the world. Just got off the line with Dennis Campbell, who is an American expatriate living in Wales. He's been over there for about 20 years now. And, you know, I guess misery loves company because, boy, there's some crazy shit going on over there, too.
There sure is. I mean, I'm sure he must have mentioned that the new head of the government there wasn't elected by anybody.
Right.
And he's, you know, drastically changing the country in a way that you would expect maybe someone who wasn't elected to head the government wouldn't do. But it's another Trump kind of neo-fascist. It's shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking. And you know, the one encouraging thing I'm seeing is that people in the UK have taken to the streets. There were massive protests last night. As Dennis said, well, people leave to go to work, but then they'll come back at night. I think this is going to keep growing over the next few days, over the weekend, all over England. And I think people aren't going to stand for it. We're seeing people take to the streets in England, in France.
Wait. You keep saying England when you mean Wales and Scotland.
I mean the UK.
England
the
is UK. Another
gotcha.
Question. England is the problem, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Okay, in the UK, I'm embarrassed to admit I've never been there. So
Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales overwhelmingly are against this whole thing. In
right.
England, it's more split. Certainly, London is against it, but a lot of England, that's where the votes came from,
right.
For Brexit.
Right. But I still don't think even the people who are for Brexit, I can't imagine, are in favor of dissolving Parliament for 5 weeks in order to keep them from challenging Boris Johnson on a no-deal Brexit. It's just insane. And the point I was getting at is that people are taking to the streets in France, in the UK, in Hong Kong. When do we do it here? Is it just that you think Americans are apathetic, or it's too hard to harness everyone to organize a general strike?
A general strike. Well, I there's not a general strike in the UK
That's
yet.
That's true.
There are demonstrations there. There are demonstrations here as well. In terms of a general strike, that's an interesting idea. Remember, it's going to be very tough. I mean, some of the people don't realize this, but there are labor unions that are extremely conservative, and they don't want any of this kind of stuff. You know, they are happy backing conservatives. They,
right.
You know, some of the biggest amounts of money that especially some of the building trades unions, they don't give to Democrats. They give, or if they do, they give to very, very conservative Democrats, but they give to Republicans in a big way. And people don't realize that. You know, there are, obviously there are really good unions,
yep.
but there are really bad ones too. And generally speaking, the building trades unions are not on our side.
No, that's a shame. Well, and the Democrats, you know what, have not, I think, have not nurtured the union, the labor movement. In fact, they've pretty much ignored it, except for Bernie Sanders, who's who is the one who puts on the walking shoes and gets on the picket lines with them. I'm not seeing anybody else there walk the talk. Yeah. So I guess they have it coming.
Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, again, it's the union movement is kind of, it's not only is it much smaller than it used to be, but it's very diverse as well. And there are unions that are very, very progressive and that are leaders in the progressive movement. And that's really good. And there are some that are just the opposite, and there are some that are just controlled completely by the Democratic Party.
Right.
You know, you take a union like there are a couple of firefighters unions. Those unions do whatever the Democratic establishment wants them to do. You know, they were the first ones, first day out of the box for Biden,
mm-hmm.
and they generally mm-hmm. tend to back extremely conservative Democrats. Like, I mean, Blue Dogs, New Dems. They don't. You know, they'd rather back a new Dem than a real Dem. That's
wow.
what it comes down to.
Wow.
Firefighters union, you know, I mean, look, I'm not trying to put down firefighters,
mm-hmm.
but they have a really bad union, really bad.
Yeah, well, and many police unions we know are just god-awful. I mean, the reaction of the New York Police Union after, Pantaleo was fired, reprehensible. It's horrible. But anyway, Howie Klein, I just saw you tweeted something about 15 minutes ago. You wrote, "I'll be on with Nicole Sandler in 5 minutes. I hope kicking some right-wing asses on the agenda. I'm in the mood." Should we start with the right wing of the Democratic Party, though? You have a post up at downwithtyranny.com that made my blood boil. The headline reads, "Only two people like the new Schumer policy attacking progressive candidates, Cory Gardner and Ben Ray Lujan." Cory Gardner, of course, the Republican senator from Colorado, who is being challenged by a bunch of people, including John Hickenlooper, and Ben Ray Lujan, who was the former head of the DCCC. Now, we've talked a number of times on this program about the DCCC, the House campaign arm run by Cherry Bustos, their decision to blackball all consultants and vendors who are working with candidates who dare to run against incumbents. Well, now Chuck Schumer and the DSCC, the Senate arm, has initiated a policy that's even worse?
Even worse, yes. They, not only are they opposed to anybody running against any of their incumbents, but also anyone who runs against any of the challengers will be blackballed as well. In other words, the consultants who work for them, the vendors who work for them, they will be blackballed. Now, this doesn't make any sense because Hickenlooper, who I like to call Frackenlooper, do people in Colorado, he had said over and over again over the course of the last year that he would not be running for the U.S. Senate.
Yep,
because he would make a bad senator.
Right.
I mean, he he's right. He would make a bad senator. He has an executive mentality, and he's never been part of a legislature. And he realizes intelligently that he wouldn't make a bad senator, and he said it over and over and over and very publicly. So with that encouragement, there are around a dozen Democrats who jumped into the Senate race, some of them extremely serious men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And they've put lots and lots of money in it. They've gotten their campaigns together. Well, now Schumer is telling people who work for them, either quit, stop what you're doing right now, or you will be blackballed by the DSCC. I've never even heard of anything like this. This is insane. This is completely crazy. This is so much worse than what Cherry Bustos is doing, which was already the worst thing of the cycle, and he's doing something even worse. So, the point is that there are really, really good, serious candidates. All of the polling has shown that any viable Democrat, anyone who's able to win the Democratic nomination to run for the U.S. Senate in Colorado, would beat Cory Gardner.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, guess what? Suddenly, Schumer sticks his nose into this, and everything is up in the air now. Now people are, you know, Colorado is an interesting state. I was looking at voting data the other day for something I was writing, and I wanted to see which areas of the country have the most split ticket voting, where people are independent minded enough to just try to vote for whoever they thought was the best person, regardless of party. And, you know, I was doing this specifically in regard to Arizona, and then I started looking at Colorado, and it was pretty shocking. I mean, people in Colorado are really independent-minded people. They do not vote on party. Mm-hmm. There are some people who vote only Republican, of course, and there are some people who vote only Democrat, yes. But compared to other states and other whether it be counties or cities or districts, Colorado has a huge number of people who, much, much bigger than other places, who will vote for maybe a Republican governor and a Democratic congressman and a Democratic senator and a Republican mayor. And it's amazing how they are so it's outstanding when you look at it. I mean, it's like, wow, how did this happen? And, you know, because you don't see as much down, you know, where people just vote straight Democrat or straight Republican.
Right.
You know, they have plenty of that. But it's much, much more than any other place where they will, you know, choose between different candidates. So now Colorado, which is pretty much, you know, has been, you know, a swing state, still considered by some a swing state, but it really is a blue state now. It's been very, very Democratic. But, you know, this kind of interference by Schumer is turning off a lot of people. I'm hearing that from every part of the state. People are furious about Schumer trying. I mean, they don't want some outsider from the D.C. machine
right.
coming in and telling them who their candidate is going to be. If you read my story, mm-hmm. I think it talks about, I don't know if it was this story or the next story. I wrote about this a few times, but one of the stories, there was an email chain between the county heads of the Democratic Party. So the head of the Democratic Party was part of it, and the people who are the heads of the Democratic Party in each county. And the Denver Post got a hold of this email chain,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty amazing. There was such fury against Schumer for the stunt that he pulled that, I mean, you almost think that some of these county chair people aren't going to vote. They're so angry at Schumer doing this. I mean, Schumer thinks he can pick the candidate, and, you know, yeah, he can do that in some places, you know, places where they just vote the party line and that's
right.
the end of it.
Right.
But you can't do it in Colorado, and he's trying it because he doesn't know Colorado. He doesn't understand Colorado. He just thinks he's the boss and everybody should follow him. And you know, Hickenlooper is not popular.
No.
Yes, he won the governorship twice, and he left on a really bad note of people not liking him. I mean, you might say, "Oh, yeah, but Chuck, but he got marijuana passed." Well, the reality is that everybody was in favor of passing the marijuana legalization bill, and it passed by a huge margin. But guess who wasn't in favor of it?
Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper.
Right.
He campaigned against it.
Right.
Now he likes to try to say, "Well, when I was governor, we passed the marijuana legalization." That's true. But what he doesn't say is that he opposed it.
Right.
I mean, this is how politicians, scumbag politicians, lie. You know, he was telling the truth. It passed while he was governor.
Right.
But actually,
no,
he was lying.
He
was trying to mislead people into thinking that he had something to do with passing it when he was against it, all the way against it.
Right.
You know, what
right.
are you going to do? This
and
is what they are.
So, Howie, when I heard the news that almost immediately after Frackenlooper withdrew from the presidential race, he was endorsed. You know, he declared he's running for the Senate, and then he got the endorsement of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, and there are like 10 other candidates who threw their hats in the ring because he said he wasn't going to run.
Some of them worked on it for 6 months really
right,
hard. And,
right.
and, you know, so I don't like some of them. I mean, some of them are awful.
Right.
Some of them are as bad as Frackenlooper.
Right, but some
but
are
some
really
of them
good.
Are great.
Right.
And one are excellent.
Now, has Blue America endorsed one of them?
We did. We didn't endorse anyone because at first, even though I was very much in favor of Andrew Romanoff, mm-hmm. and we all kind of like Andrew, but we thought, well, there are a lot of other really good candidates. Maybe we better leave it alone until after the primary. That was my initial thing. But once the DCCC came heavy, you know, heavy footing or big footing into this thing, mm-hmm. I figured we've got to help Andrew. I mean, Andrew is great. He was polling number one. Wow. He had the top polling. And now with Schumer just virtually declaring that Frackenlooper is the candidate, I figured that Andrew was going to need some help.
Absolutely.
And he does.
Right.
I mean, he told me already that he lost three consultants.
Oh, my God. And this, again, just to reiterate, is because the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has said anybody, any consultant or vendor who works with anybody other than the candidate we endorse will be blackballed by the party. This is...
And we endorse doesn't mean anything except who Chuck Schumer decides he wants. That's it. That's who we... It's like not like there's some vote even among some small number of people. It's just Chuck Schumer. That's it. He decides he wants Frackenlooper, and that's the end of that.
And let's
and
not
everybody's
forget...
Getting in line.
Let's not forget that in 2018, he gave us Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona.
Worst voting record of any Democrat in the Senate.
Even worse
literally,
than Joe Manchin.
He's already worse than
Manchin.
Manchin from West Virginia. She's already
amazing.
Outperformed him in terms of being a Republican clone.
And for the people who wonder why, you know, we open the segment with that Chucky Schmucky hour, this is why. Chuck Schumer needs to go. We need to get him the hell out of there. Because I'm afraid, look, it's so important that the Democrats win back the Senate this time, get Mitch McConnell out of power so that a new Democratic president, knocking on wood laminate, and a Democratic Congress can actually fix the mess that Trump has given us and turn things around. And Chuck Schumer's just going to make that more difficult.
Right. But there's no way to get rid of Chuck Schumer from the Senate.
No.
There would be if we elect Democrats, there would be enough Democrats. If we elect enough Democrats to oust him as leader, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2022, guess who's going to be old enough to run against him? I don't know if
AOC.
She's going to. I don't know
AOC.
If she's even thinking about mm-hmm. it, but I sure plan to put as much pressure as I can on her to run against him.
That would be awesome. That would be really awesome.
So, I'm talking about, right?
AOC.
That's right.
That's right.
And polling has already shown that she is immensely more popular than he is. Not even close. Immensely more than double as popular as he is.
Cool. Well,
could you imagine having AOC in the U.S. Senate instead of Chuck Schumer?
Oh, that would be awesome. Well, this is what we need to do. Cool. We need to have a progressive revolution, kind of what Bernie Sanders has been saying all along, which it makes it all the more, last week I mentioned to you this article that I saw in the South Florida Sun Sentinel about this group of Broward County Democrats, most elected officials, former and current, county commissioner kind of people, led by Steve...
You mean like the Debbie Wasserman Schultz machine is what you're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. Led by this guy, Steve Geller, who used to be a state senator, a state assemblyman, and he's sort of working backwards. He's now a Broward County commissioner, and he's the head of this caucus, this, I don't know, problem solvers or some bullshit, Real Solutions Caucus or something. And what they are pushing is for a, quote, centrist.
Anybody but Bernie, anybody but Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
That's what they're pushing.
Right. So exactly. And that's what the headline of the article said that. So I had him on seriously just to rip him a new one because how dare they? I'm sorry. We're 26 elected officials, and we think the only way to win is to elect a moderate or a centrist. And I asked him.
A moderate or a centrist, but it really comes down to is
a conservative.
A status quo.
Right.
Anti-conservative. That's what they want.
Anti-progressive.
They want a conservative who's going to protect their asses.
That's right.
But they're not thinking about the American people.
Not at all.
They're thinking about their own political asses and financial asses, and that's all it is. It's not about what Bernie or Elizabeth Warren are offering to the American people. They don't like that whole idea.
Right.
They don't like rich people paying more taxes.
Nope.
Well, most Americans do want rich people to pay their fair share of taxes.
Absolutely. Well,
not only normal people, mm-hmm. but even 50, I was looking at polling earlier today, okay. 52% of Republicans would like to see rich people paying their fair share of taxes. And you know what? Even when you poll millionaires, the majority of them say, yes, rich people should pay their fair
right.
share of taxes.
Of course. Of course. And you know, the other thing that I tried to challenge him on is, what gives you the idea that a centrist or a moderate, what I call a conservadem, is what's going to win over swing voters? You know, and I said to him, you probably backed, you know, John Kerry over Howard Dean. You probably backed Hillary Clinton over Barack Obama. You probably backed Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. What do these things tell you? The centrist, the conservadem loses. The more progressive Democrat, especially in today's climate, certainly has a better chance, because that's where the people who are engaged and excited and enthusiastic are. That's where they are politically. Joe Biden, you know, pulls in dozens of people to his events. Bernie and Elizabeth Warren pull in multiple thousands. I'll go
right.
with the enthusiasm.
Yeah, well, Biden is you know, doing like immense numbers of small events.
Big donors. Right.
That's what he does. He gets together with very, very, very wealthy people and gets them to write maxed out checks to him. That's a Biden event. Whereas Bernie event and an Elizabeth Warren event, those are to actually speak to voters, not to big donors. You know how many times Elizabeth Warren has had a fundraising event this cycle?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
Zero.
Right.
Bernie did three, but they were all for like people who he wanted to give give $27. So I don't know if that really counts, because in you know, in Biden world, they're looking for $5,400 checks.
Wow. And apparently today, you know, it's like every day there's another Biden foot in the mouth issue. And today
is the best of all.
Okay, so today, oh my God, I didn't even hear it. I'm just seeing on Twitter all the media, all the press, you know, stories about it. Apparently he did. Well, you can tell because you know what happened. He told a story and said this is the truth and nothing about it was true.
What he did is he took three different stories that were basically unrelated to each other and mushed them together into one story that has nothing to do with any of the three stories, and he just made up a lie. And then at the end of it, he started swearing to God that it was true and staked his name on it. He said, you know, this is true as I am a Biden.
Oh,
a
my
Biden?
God.
I mean, I know what the Biden family stands for. They're low-life scumbag lobbyists. That's who they are, his brothers and sisters and children. They're all of them have been trading on his name for years and years and years. They go and get business saying, I can get Biden to do this for you. I can get Biden to do that for you. That's what the Biden name is worth. And he's swearing on this lie, which, I mean, he doesn't seem to realize that when you lie, you get called out on it. It's not the 50s anymore, although he's in the 50s still. He doesn't realize that you get caught, and then people know you're a liar. Trump is the biggest liar in political history. 4% of what he said has been completely true. 4%. The other 96% has been on one level or another untrue. But 84% of Trump's public statements have been a lie. 84%. Now, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
The only Democrat who comes close is Biden, and it's not that close. It's 60%. So people say, oh, see, Biden is better than Trump. Yeah, he is. But Biden is an F and Trump is worse than an F.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
Right.
I mean, is that all we can do? Just the lesser of two evils? That's all the Democratic Party ever wants to do. This is what they love. This is what they thrive on. Lesser of two evils. They want to do it in the presidential race. They do it in Senate races. They do it in congressional races. Every one of their candidates is just terrible. It's like, if you want to vote against something really bad, vote against whatever the Democratic Party is telling you.
Really?
In primary time.
Right.
All their primary candidates are terrible.
Right. So Howie Klein, you posted, you know, I hope we're going to, you know, beat up on kicking some right-wing asses on the agenda. I guess the right wing of the Democratic Party. We could go after Republicans. That's easy. Unfortunately,
big target.
Yeah, but Democrats are a problem too. I mean, we're seeing more problems in the Democratic Party. And what's really funny is how, you know, the Bernie bro slam, yet the attacks that I'm seeing are coming from these conservadems against the progressives.
Yeah. Are they still going on about the Bernie bros? I haven't seen that lately.
Yeah, I had to block somebody the other day who warned me against becoming a Bernie bro.
God.
Yeah, like get over it. And I found these tweets. So it was a couple of hours ago, one tweet after another. Philip Rucker of the Washington Post, quote, "My word is a Biden. Former VP has been telling a moving but false war story on the campaign trail." Then another one from a White House reporter for The Washington Post. "As he campaigns for president, Joe Biden tells a harrowing story of military sacrifice, punctuating it with, quote, this is the God's truth, except almost every detail in the story appears to be incorrect."
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to call him a liar.
Right.
You know, every story is incorrect. Yes, every detail is incorrect. That means he's a liar. He is a liar.
Right.
And he's been lying for his whole career. That's what you go to PolitiFact and you look him up and you will see 60% lies. That's his public statement, 60%. Not as bad as Trump, but a normal politician, you know, yeah, maybe not everything is true. That's you're a politician.
Yep.
You know, you exaggerate, you emphasize different things. You take someone like Elizabeth Warren, 5% untrue.
Right. You know, I a couple of days ago pulled out a whole bunch of them. I don't know if I mentioned these to you. We know about, you know, he lied about meeting the Parkland kids after the Parkland shooting while he was vice president, even though he had been out of office for over a year. There are the gaffes. Poor kids are just as bright as white kids, things like that. I heard him give out a detail about the Sandy Hook shooting, the first graders, a detail that I don't believe was ever released to the media because it was so horrific. And yet he tossed it out there like it was common knowledge.
What is that? I didn't hear about that.
All right, I'll play it for you. Here's what he said.
You have to put this in human terms. And now what the American people are hearing, the stories they're seeing. Like I said, up in Sandy Hook, you know what the biggest thing when I met with all the police that were there, the state police? They needed help, mental help, because you know what they talked about? This guy piled babies on top of one another in the classroom and then shot them again. People should understand. People are beginning to understand.
Okay, I never heard that before. And
I don't believe him anyway. I never heard it either, but is it true?
Well, here's what I think is that because he was in office when the Sandy Hook massacre happened, that he and Obama were probably privy to details that were never released to the public.
That's a very good assumption. Yeah. But another assumption is he's making it up. He's a liar.
Right.
I'm gonna write a letter right now to a friend of mine from Connecticut who's in who's in Congress and ask him if it's true.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
He's you know, he'll be honest with me.
Right. Either way, it's reprehensible. Oh my God, Howie, I didn't even realize we're late. It's after 4 o'clock already. We've just been going on and we're running long, so we need to wrap it up. But I don't understand why at this point anybody is supporting Joe Biden. He cannot win.
Well, I certainly agree with you there.
All right. Well, apologies for running over, but thank you for hanging with me. Howie Klein, of course, find him at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America Pack, and here every Thursday. Thank you, Howie.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later. All right. I got to run because I am guest hosting the broadcast again tonight. And so come on over there, progressivevoices.com at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, or go to bradblog.com and you can download it there. As always, thank you for listening, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, we've got Frank Schaefer coming on tomorrow. I promise it'll be a great way to wrap up the week, as long as I still have power. Keep the faith, everyone. See you tomorrow or tonight on the broadcast. Thanks again. Bye-bye.